This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I'm in my bed with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words.
It's important to give context. It's Keeling Me Softly. It's not a romantic song from me to Sean Keeler about, you know, killing me softly with his kiss or anything. The beard would get in the way. It is Keeling Me Softly. Sean Keeler, everyone, Denver Post. How about that for an intro?
That's worth it. That's worth a 2-week break.
Well, we're going to come up with something better.
Was that the Roberta Flack version and not the Fugees version?
I like the Fugees version better.
I do too. I love Roberta Flack, but I'm 70s to the core. But yeah, Fugees version's way better.
Yeah, Lauryn Hill, amazing. Amazing. Well, yeah, I could go off all day. Because Lauryn Hill was like crazy.
We should.
Like, she was so amazing. She won so many awards, and then suddenly she's like, later.
Yeah, well.
Other stuff happened, I guess, too. I don't know. I don't know all the details. But Sean Keeler, timeouts. Seems like that's a big topic of conversation around Boulder today.
Here's when you know you've hit a nerve, because, you know, who knows better where the nerves are in the Coach Prime universe than yours truly. When he leaves off after he reads the script from CUPR, and the faster he reads that and wants to get to his rebuttal, I mean, and he's entitled to that. Every coach would and does, but he absolutely will and does. Did he go to Shurmur first or the timeouts first? I think he went to Shurmur first.
Full disclosure, I didn't watch the whole thing. I was stuck on the timeouts thing.
And when some of y'all have got to let some of that go, and I laughed and went, no, that's not going to happen. One. Two, then he had two rebuttals. And then he went into the timeouts. And I think he went into it, asked a question about something else, that then he was on his mind to go there and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to defend that back. Look, I mean, he wasn't wrong in his explanation, but he also really wasn't right.
Well,
he was called out everywhere, and that doesn't make him happy. That never plays well.
Well, I get what he was trying to say, but it was the first play on that first down was a negative play, and he's like, we're there. You got to get your rhythm. I'm looking at it going, no, I'm calling the timeout there for a million reasons at that point.
Yeah. And a lot of people after the fact are like texting me, you've got to regroup there. That is 101. Start that over. And, you know, there are a lot of elephants in this room. And one of the elephants is, this is the first time Deion Sanders is fielding a major college team, not Jackson State. He had 1 year or two-thirds of the year at Jackson without Shadur. He hasn't had that floor general who's also in the family, who can kind of buffer ideas and buffer what they've got to do and keep everybody's head in the game. They don't have that anymore. And that was the first time in a close game that it showed. In a season that should have a lot of close games based on what we've seen in the Big 12. So, I mean, if you're a Buffs fan, yeah, that probably worries you a little. That it was kind of – I think the Georgia Tech game was a Rorschach test. Like, you know what that is? You know what that
mm-hmm.
is. You're a
yeah.
sub guy.
Yeah.
Is that I think you take from it what you want to take from
mm-hmm.
it. You will see – do you see a butterfly or do you see a head splatter open? I don't know. Bad example. But I think there are things – and I say that to say that there are things you can take that are not bad.
Yeah.
I think they ran the ball better than we recall. The stats were there. There was intent to run the ball some that were better, and yet they got run over for 300 yards, and so it's like that everything gets buried by that lead. So I think the real honest test of right or wrong or where this is in 2 weeks. You're on the road against a team you're better than on paper, but that doesn't mean anything in this league. I think Houston a week from Friday is going to tell us an awful lot again.
Yeah, I disagreed with how he didn't call the timeouts, all that stuff. I've seen it so much. I've seen NFL coaches flub that. It happens. I had more of a problem with the response to the timeouts, you know, in the press conference yesterday. But I honestly took the glass half full approach because I think Georgia Tech, if they stay healthy, is going to be a really, really good football team. Now, we'll see. CU should have been able to take advantage of all those turnovers in the first quarter, but they couldn't, so that's scary. But the fact that they were going, you know, back and forth with this team, I think Georgia Tech's going to be a really good team. I don't know how good, but I don't think that's a shameful loss.
And no, it's not. And I think that's fair. And that's why I go back to the Rorschach test, or if you want glass half full, glass. It's half something. However you want to take that, it's half because it's a quality loss for which the quality is TBD. We're going to find out. Suddenly, everyone's, you know, secretly biggest Yellow Jackets fans are all in Boca, rooting for them to carry it forward. I'm not sure it really works that way. But that should be a top four ACC team. It's definitely a matchup problem. You knew it was going to be, and it was. I think if there is some, at the same time, you're like, oh, not a bad loss. They didn't lose North Dakota State at home, although that team was pretty good in hindsight. I think there's a hope that Tech is pretty good in hindsight. You also got run over, and your biggest weakness on paper still hasn't really been addressed. But then you can count, again, glass half full, half empty. You say, who's going to run the ball as well as Georgia Tech that's left on that schedule?
Mm-hmm.
I can name you one. But I can't name you more than two or three, like probably Utah, based on what we saw.
Yeah.
If they've got right, probably BYU, another massive September game for a team that's got to figure this stuff out. And, you know, probably K-State and KU. But it's not a long – I mean, ASU, we'll see. It's not a long list. And it, certainly in terms of QBs who could beat you with their legs, it's – not that much of a longer list either. So, yeah, I think both CU and CSU can feel okay about being 0-1. I think it's the degree of okay and who cleans up the stuff that bothers you the quickest going forward, because they both have that and they both left some talking points on the table. Bless them for that. When you're writing critiques, thank you for leaving talking points. We appreciate that.
As if we needed a lot more, but it was nice to get actual football going, and then we could develop more storylines from that. But then Coach Prime and Coach Norvell give us weird things, you know? Coach Prime perhaps underthinking it with the timeout situation. Jay Norvell maybe overthinking it with the fake field goal, then not a fake field goal, but Braden's not out there and their defense is, and the rest is history. On Juju Lewis, Sean, your article in the Denver Post, will CU Buffs QB Julian Lewis be Deion Sanders' Arch Manning? The Juju era arrives Saturday. Is Coach Prime saying that Juju's going to play because they're going up against Delaware and they're 25-point favorites, they're probably going to be blowing them out? Or is he looking at that going, we're going to have him in this game when it's still a game?
I think both those things are true. But to what degree the second one is, I don't know. Like, I'm surprised he didn't play in the opener. But I also understand why. I don't know that that would have been the place and the time to go wholesale, that's our guy. But I thought there'd be continual sprinkling. And this is what this month is for, right? You can sprinkle, 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 and then you have redshirt and portal decisions, et cetera. Coming out of this month, right? Right? Traditionally.
Yeah.
So I got the impression this whole month was kind of a tryout for everybody. And I wasn't even trying at all. He thought Caden Salter gave him the best chance to win that game. And he said, I'm going to ride the hand that gives me the best chance to go 1-0 because I'm always 1-0. It's the first time he's ever been 0-1. Like, I respect that. I get that. I also think that if they were not three touchdowns, you'd be a little less inclined to be he's definitely playing. He's definitely out there. I would hope that that's not as much an indictment of Caden as much as it is part of the master plan to start making your five-star happy. Because, again, as noted in the column today, there's only one of those guys you got to make happy. Like, if Caden Salter is unhappy, he's unhappy and you don't have anywhere to go. Like, that's it. This was his, you know, Hail Mary to get this thing done at the end of his career. Juju Lewis has three cars and about 10 suitors the minute he goes. I mean, those are the average. He could be a free agent anytime he wants. And I don't know if you saw the Esquire. I mean, he's already been he's the subject of an Esquire feature. Not having
wow, I didn't see that.
Yet. Yeah, Google that. It's a decent – it's a read about high school NILs and the states that are taking advantage of it. Georgia, big into keeping kids and having that kind of open market for them. And he obviously took advantage of that and made some money and is continuing to make some money. So at some point there will be rubber meets the road with Julian Lewis of, hey, and his father and the folks who are in his corner saying, hey, we have business interests and I'm not going to keep a $1 million endorsement to you know, hold the clipboard. I think those conversations will certainly have been had with the CU staff, and I think CU is conscious of that. And I think it's like Deion said, he knows that he's going to play and he's not going to tell us how much. And I think you raise a great point as to when. I think it'd be great if you're up 17-0, which that game has the potential to be, and then you do it. But maybe it's two series and you see what you got. I think conventional thinking would be to get a 3-score lead and let the rest take care of itself or even more. But when do we prescribe conventional thinking to what Coach Prime does?
Yeah, well, and I was thinking about you too, Keeler, at the end of that press conference, or at least around the timeout thing. And, you know, when he's asking the question, when do you call timeouts, when he's asking reporters, and I get it, like, everybody has to be careful because they don't want to get Keelered. And you were just asking fair questions. And we're calling it Keelered now.
Are we going to make that a verb now?
I think so. I think we're ready to make it official. You're comfortable with it now.
Keelered. It sounds better if you say it in a Jimmy Candy voice. You don't want to get Keelered. It's going to be bad. That sounds more like bad Burgess Meredith.
Don't ask.
You don't want to do it in a Burgess Meredith from Rocky voice. That would be something. No, and you know what? That I was in that room and, you know, just tapping the fingers going, yeah, okay, let's see where it goes. And credit to those, my peers, who raised, you know, there were some friendly media to him who raised that question. Good for them, because that's a fair point. That's a point that fans want to know and want an explanation for. And I think everybody knows that fans deserve that explanation. And I think a lot of them are like, huh? Still with that?
Yeah.
But I think this whole year is going to be a lot of up and downs and huhs, and I'm hoping to be proven wrong in that respect, but it's going to be different. And we've said from day one, this is always going to be the season where, you know, notwithstanding his health too, where Coach Prime's going to find out how much he really loves this, good, bad, or otherwise. Next week will probably be happier. We'll see how happy they are in a couple weeks, because you've got some real interesting ones coming for the end of this month. It's a really interesting first month for both schools of our Big Two here, but definitely on the Buffs front.
Yeah, no question, my friend. Sean, always amazing stuff from you. Love getting you on the show. Love your stuff. Love working with the Denver Post on this to have you on. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Likewise, brother. Let's get some Lauryn Hill rolling next time.
Okay. Yeah, I'll snap Micah back into line.
You make that happen.
We got to do it. All right, my friend. Sean Keeler. Yeah, that was Keeling Me Soft. We need to come up with like an intro for it, though. And now Mike has picked up the phone, and he is talking. You're not supposed to talk to the guest. Here's what you do, Mike.
When you agree with me on
you
everything.
You pick up the phone, and you go, dot, 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 dot. Hello, this is Micah. I'm calling to get you on the whole show. Are you ready? Please hold. Hang up. That's it. And then you hang up. Don't talk to them.
So hang up on them. Don't put them on hold.
No, you put them on hold. And then when the interview is over, you say, thank you very much for your time. Goodbye. And then you hang up. You don't go, hey, did you see the latest Darkwing Duck in Sector 4 last night? You don't do that stuff. I'm catching you do that a lot lately, and it's starting to scare the guests.
Not doing that at all.
I think I was
saying goodbye and telling him Roberta Flack would be better.
No, I could tell. You were getting ready to go somewhere. You asked him right before you got him on if he liked baseball fights. You started going into that whole thing.
I wanted to prepare him in case you were going to ask that question.
No, in all seriousness, Micah doesn't. Strangely enough, all of my guests like you. Right? Go figure. I don't know. You got me, man. It's great. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump right out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.